time to cross to Lonely Wallace in the Auckland studio.
Where
sorry,
are you?
Wallace, sorry to abandon you. How are you?
Good. Where are you?
I'm in Wellington with Sam.
Okay.
We're going to bully you from another city.
Yes. Well, yeah, no surprise there, frankly. But I'm here all alone and very cold, quite frankly. The air conditioning still hasn't been fixed. But
oh, what's the story?
That's another problem, Jesse.
And they say, and they put a special note out that if we tried to warm things up by using a portable heater or opening the door, the air conditioning system would only work harder.
Yeah, I put a little note in my phone, bring a hot water bottle, forgot it. So, but look, it's going to be a very good Friday, and we have a lot lined up, Jesse. New research out today highlighting just how big a problem alcohol still is. Get this, it's really affecting emergency departments. 11% of ED visits are due to the booze. That's more than 1 in 10. That just after 6, new research. Also, a black week for the media industry. So what will free-to-air TV look like come July 5 when the big switch-off happens for News Hub? I mean, hard to believe still, isn't it? So we're trying to find solutions today. We have a producer who is key behind some of the key primetime shows. He is on our show, The Panel. And if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. O.J. Simpson, he dies. We take a look at the legal aspect of the trial of the century. And finally, our question of the day today is, have you radically changed careers? So we talked to a healthcare worker today who turned from being a healthcare worker into, get this, a coffee caravan operator. Couldn't be happier. How have you changed? 2101.
Oh, yes, please. I'd love to see some of those as well. Sam Hollis, our producer on Afternoons and The Panel, is luckily sticking with the career he's got for now. He does a bit of moonlighting as a film reviewer, but that's sort of part of the job. He joins me in the Wellington studio. Hey, Sam.
Kia ora. Good to be back.
So you've been working behind the scenes on The Panel, Panel Hour from 6 till 7pm tonight. And what have you spotted that's got your interest?
So today I'm bringing you guys an article from the New York Times, specifically from veteran food journo Julia Moskin. So she took a look at 5 of the biggest food myths that are out there and put them to the test. Now, I don't really consider myself a master chef by any means, but I was quite struck to see that all of these myths were ones that I'd heard of believed and followed myself. So it was quite interesting to see what she came out with.
Yes, where do you sit on the foodie spectrum, Wal?
I'm lucky enough to have actually started cooking quite young, because I worked in a Chinese restaurant, Jade Palace in Nelson, for about 4 years when I was 14 to 17. So Dad said, get a job. I said, there's no jobs around. He goes, there's a new Chinese just opening up, try them. I said, they won't want me. Well, they did.
So great. Man, you would have been loaded, because guys who had jobs as teenagers always felt so rich, right? They had actually income rather than just waiting for their parents to hand it out.
You got it. And so here I am at the age of 16, actually knowing quite a bit about how to cook well. And it was such a skill. So this stuff here, actually, you take it away, Sam. I can jump in on some of these myths.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see if these are ones that you guys personally subscribe to as well. So the first one she addresses is to never use soap to wash a cast iron pan.
My dad's pretty psychotic about that.
Yep.
He's got a cast iron pan he loves, and if you ever try and use dishwashing liquid, no!
Yeah. I didn't realise that cast iron was such like a holy grail for people in their
real kitchens. And the worst thing you can do is soak the cast iron pan. I almost got booted out of the family for that one.
What's with the cast iron pan? Just treat it like any other thing. Great myth. Good on Julia in the New York Times for busting this stupid myth.
She says you can do whatever you want.
She says it's a false myth. It starts because the patina on the bottom of the pan, which is the oil that builds up on the surface and creates a large part of the seasoning that contributes to the final product of the meal you're cooking. The myth surrounds the fact that soap soap wipes that away. But she says, as long as you're not using scouring powder or drain cleaner or anything too intense, a little bit of soap won't hurt the pan itself, and good. That oil buildup will just come back the more you use it. So it's not something you really need to worry
Big
about.
Big argument with a flatmate in the early 90s. You're using soap in my pan! I said it's not bone china, it's cast iron.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else you got?
Next up, so moving to pasta now, that pasta cooking water should taste as salty as the ocean.
Mediterranean, yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah, well, I've always put like a good sort of palmful of salt in with my pasta, but kind of left it there. But she put this to the test, and it seems like you do need salt for the taste, but it depends on the type of pasta you're using. And the final result she found is that she liked it about as salty as a light chicken stock, or about 2 tablespoons of salt per gallon of water. So you just salt to taste, and you do not need it to taste as salty as the ocean.
Per gallon.
Of course
you
don't.
You're doing a metric? How many litres in a gallon? Anyone?
Anyone there?
We'll look
Hello.
We'll look well, you're the producer.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, you've got the computer in front of you.
Okay. 1 gallon.
Okay. Yeah, great radio, Jesse. Great radio.
Yeah,
30 grams of salts to almost 4 grams, almost 4 litres of water. So, yeah, that's a bit less than they generally tell you. Generally, they say 10 grams per litre.
Okay, right. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, another one, sort of half folks, I would say, for that one. The other next one here is having all your ingredients prepared and ready to go, along with your cooking oil heated before you start to cook. Are you guys big preppers?
Okay, this I really disagree with. So she's saying that in some ways you can actually just put your oil in and then put your onions in at the same time. Mm. A shocking no, of course. Yeah. I mean, come on. You must have that pan zingy hot, your oil pumping, and then what about this lymph flaccid putting your onion in at the same time? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, she claims here that it is false, and that you will need preheated oil if you're cooking something that, you know, speed is the name of the game, like I guess like a stir fry or something like that. But for other recipes, she says low and slow is a great way to start. Okay. So, proved you wrong there, I suppose, Wallace.
Thank you.
No, thanks. Disagree.
What else you got?
Finally, always brown meat at the beginning of the cooking process to seal in the juices.
Let me guess. Myth?
False. Yeah, she says good. Browning is great for dry heat dishes like steaks and roasts, but unnecessary for stews and braises.
Ah. Jesse, you talk about browning every second day, don't you, on your show?
Our show's 80% browning. It's browning in the afternoons with Jesse Mulligan and the team. Yes, and I also bore the stuffing out of you talking about the Maillard reaction as well, which is...
What's that?
That's a scientific principle that tells you the only way to get a particular sort of flavour is by browning the meat. Not to seal the juices in. I know that's a myth.
No, I think that's just one of those lines that sounds nice, right? But for me, it's always my worry that the meat just isn't going to cook well enough. So if I'm making like a curry or something, I think I just brown my chicken and everything ahead of time because it gives me peace of mind that I'm not going to poison myself.
What are you guys on? But you would be a browner, wouldn't you, Jesse? You know,
yeah,
barbecue.
Yeah. Mm. And Victoria is often like, do we need to be? Because I'm like,
good
we need
you.
An hour for browning before we do anything else. She's like, come on, can't we just make the kids a?
I bet you'd be a marinate overnight kind of guy as well.
Yeah, when I'm organised. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Sam. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wallace. Have a great panel hour.
Thank you.
Afternoons is back next week. Monday, we're browning pork. Tuesday, we're browning beef. Wednesday is lamb day. And on Thursday, browning venison.
You see,
full schedule.
You're going to throw some spice in for them.
You can sign up to the browning schedule at rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Put your email address in and we'll send you a newsletter with what we're browning on what day.
Can't be out.
Never miss out again. Hey, thanks for having me, Wellington. Thanks to our technical operator, Sonia, down here, and to Angie, who's been line producing today. You can re-listen or listen for the first time to any of our interviews online, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Have a great weekend. Lisa Owen and Checkpointer next.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.